Okay then. Right. Oh, off you go.
Wow. What is it? 9:15 on a Tuesday morning.
Rainy Tuesday morning.
We're sat in a van in the Depot Bakery little courtyard.
Yeah. It's pretty grim. The weather's not nice.
Yeah, but it's going to be baking hot by the weekend.
Yeah, it's 28 degrees. So
we're going to be complaining again.
It'll be too hot.
Yeah. Can't get it right, you know, in Sheffield.
No.
Oh, who are you?
I'm Emily.
And I'm Tracy.
Okay.
And we met about an hour ago.
Yeah.
For the very first time.
A networking breakfast.
A networking breakfast that was really rather yummy.
It was scrambled egg and salmon I had.
Bacon sorted.
Trying to get rid of the bread.
Oh no, bread's my life. I love bread. Any kind of bread, I'm all over it. It's just all the carbs.
Well, I was trying to be good, and then I won the golden ticket from behind the counter at the Depot Bakery. So
you did.
I've come away with 4 cakes.
Oh,
which is not good.
No, that's a good way to start a Tuesday morning. I mean, 4 cakes, and now you're sat in a van.
I know. That's not how I planned my morning at all when I got up really early.
No, nor me. No. I'm used to getting up early in the morning, but felt difficult this morning with the rain just pouring down. No, pull the covers back on and roll over and go back to bed.
But now you think it was a good move.
No, it was good. Had a lovely time, met loads of lovely people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we've only just met, so yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Found out more about you and the fact that you're from Essex.
I am from Essex, yeah. Where are you from?
I'm actually a Rotherham lass, but obviously I live in Sheffield. But
moved over the M1.
I've travelled around a bit because I moved away to Plymouth, of all places.
Oh, wow.
To go to art college, and then I worked in Nottingham for a while.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, always drawn back to Sheffield.
Yeah, Sheffield's home.
Yeah, yeah. You can't beat northern cities, I don't think.
Ooh.
Challenge there coming from Essex. But you're here. You're staying here.
I am, yeah. I grew up going to London, though. And everyone up here seems to hate London. I love London.
Probably because it's really busy and everyone thinks no one's got time for anybody, so they don't seem as friendly.
They say this, like, the least friendly people are in London. I disagree. I lived in London for a year. I'm pretty friendly. Like, even on my way to work, I'd stop and take photos of tourists or give them directions on where to go. And I'm a local person, and I know loads of local people who are very, very friendly in London. And there's always something going on.
Like, yeah.
Always something to do, always people to meet and places to go and... It's just
I think it
magical.
Just seems a really busy pace of life.
Everyone
seems to be
busier.
Rushing to get somewhere.
Yeah, because there's so much to do. Like, you've got to fit it all into your day. Like, that's one of the things I found hardest about moving to Sheffield. Everything's a lot more laid back. Like, even the pace of life is slower. Even in an office, you work at a slower pace.
And we'd probably disagree working here. We'd probably think, oh, it's really stressful, I can't wait to go home.
Yeah, no, completely. But, like, working in different offices down south is mad. Like, your output is so much higher. Obviously not the same in every company,
yeah. But
I'd say across a broad spectrum.
So do you find it better then because it's a slower pace of life up here?
No, because I grew up being manic,
so
busy,
you don't know what to do with the spare
no.
time.
I try... Even just walking, I'm used to the London walk, where it's like 3 paces to 1 person. You just get places so much quicker, and I get trapped behind people, and I'm like, oh, gotta walk around them. Who walks this slow?
Although, actually, I don't walk slow. I am one of those fast-walking people.
Yeah. I've got my destination
in
my mind.
This is where
Let's
I'm
go.
Going, I'm off. So yeah. Maybe I'd fit into London.
Maybe
life.
You would. Maybe, yeah.
No, but I'm not going to move.
You're not going to move?
I'm not going to move.
No, the Peak District here is just the reason why I don't want to move. I love it.
It is a perfect destination, Sheffield, because we're bang in the middle, aren't we? And
yeah.
We're, you know, 5 minutes from the Peak District.
Yeah.
It's a perfect place to be.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people do come up here for that.
If
they're outdoorsy people as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, I came to uni here and then just never left. So for me, it's because I'd, like, joined outdoor sports and stuff. Everything being right at my doorstep, even when I didn't have my car here, I could just get on a bus for a pound into the Peak District.
Yeah.
And just have an entire day exploring the countryside. I can't do that back home. Like, it's city life, but Essex is very, like, green. A lot of people don't realise that, but there's loads of fields and parks and woods. And, I mean, it's mostly farmland, Essex. So
yeah,
there's loads of countryside, but it's all flat. Here you've got the challenging hills, and it's just completely mad how different it is, even though it's still outdoors.
That was one thing with you saying about green, because I was in the supermarket the other day, you know, doing your shopping and going through the tills, having a chat because it was raining again.
Yeah, always raining.
The cashier was saying, oh God, it's raining again. I said, yeah, but that's what makes us a lush green country.
And the flowers are growing.
Yeah.
They're coming out.
This is it. So there are benefits to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we moan about the weather, because it's the same year
in, year every out. Year.
We just take it as it comes, because it's changing all the time.
Yeah.
But it makes it interesting.
It does. And talking about green, I don't know if you've driven around Park Square roundabout recently.
Yes.
Have you seen all the wildflowers?
I haven't. Too busy watching the roundabout. It's a bit
Yeah, don't take your eyes off the road. But,
Oh, I'll look next
time. I don't know who's planted them, or if it's like a part of like the council's plan or something. It is covered in wildflowers. It's absolutely beautiful. All the pastel colours, and then a shock of like red from the poppies and stuff. And it's only since, you know, like the last 3 weeks have been like non-stop rain. Since that's happened, they've all just bloomed.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely beautiful.
I think the councils have been doing it, because I've noticed the times I have been in Rotherham, they've got it down the dual carriageway all the wildflowers.
Oh, it's so nice. And it breaks it up. And obviously, flowers and plants are better to like reduce the emissions and stuff,
or at least
barrier them.
And it's encouraging the bees back as well, isn't it?
Love the bees.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the fuzzy bees. I've just recently done an abseil off of Sheffield Hallam's tallest building. They've got beehives at the top of there.
Really?
Really. In the middle of the city centre, they've got beehives on one of the tallest buildings in Sheffield. So they're encouraging the bees to come back as well. They've got that nice little green area out the front with some flowers on, so to help them
lead
their way back home. And yeah, they were just buzzing around us, and we're like, where are these bees coming from? It's just a hive behind us. Absolutely, like, absolutely insane. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Got a lot going on in the city.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, and they're trying to make it greener, which is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does it help what you do? I mean, do people appreciate it?
With what? Sorry.
What were people doing growing wildflowers in the city, things like that?
It just brings a smile to people's faces. Yeah. Like if you're walking along, you can just see it. Like people go, oh, look at that. Oh,
yeah.
And it's sort of like you block concrete. I mean, Park Square roundabout is not the nicest of places to be. You've got the trams above you. You've got the all the cars going round at like 40 miles an hour. Mm. All those emissions and the big, tall, grey buildings either side. And then you've just got this shock of colour. And like, everyone loves flowers. Even if they say they don't, they do.
They do. Well, this is what I saw at the weekend.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Field of poppies.
Yeah. Mm. Now, that was done by accident, apparently. The farmer got the wrong pack of seeds.
Oh, really?
No way.
I know. That's why I asked the same question.
Did he intend a crop?
It was intended a crop. It was like, yes, now, but this got out on social media.
Oh, really?
This is out at Baslow. You know, that sort of area.
Yeah.
And there were people queuing to stand in the field of poppies and stuff like that.
Take photos.
And I was thinking, oh, this is great, but why do you have to go all the way, you know, something sort of like this, sort of highlighted, when you can go to the park? I haven't noticed the flowers on there. I drive around it every day, probably.
Now you're going
to
notice something.
I know you
notice
exactly. It's just exactly what these...
Yeah, well, the more you talk about it, the more people will notice.
And the back to the bees and the things. You know, I'm planting... I've just come back, I think I told you, from Zurich. And people don't mow their lawns. They mow half of them. So you've got a nice little patch. And then right in the middle, you've got long grass and like a mini meadow. I mean, literally mini, 60-foot, that's 60-foot, 6-foot square or something.
Yeah.
So they've got a really small garden.
Yeah.
But they just only mow half the lawn and leave it. That's such a simple idea.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd try that out. So yeah. I've done it now, and it's already started. In a week, you can see the difference.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Like, I live in a flat, and we've got like little window boxes and stuff like that. And you can just put...
Yeah.
Even when I rented, before I shared with a family, like I'd had their top floor and they weren't doing anything with their front garden and it was just paved over and it was south facing. And I was like, are you not going to plant anything? And they're like, well, we don't have time. I was like, what do you mean you don't have time? So I literally got some secondhand boxes off of Freecycle, put a load of like just random seeds, like wildflower seeds, because they don't need a lot of looking after, and just left them and like watered them now and again. And they were like, oh, Emily, your plants need weeding. They're all growing up. It's all green. They're all different and sticking out at odd angles. And I was like, no, leave it. You'll see. One day they just went bam, and all these flowers popped out, and I've never seen so many bees. It was amazing. And they were just like, oh, front garden looks amazing. I thought, and how much time has it taken me to do that? Just sprinkle them on. And like people walking past and stopping and looking.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
This is the randomness of any of these sort of types of things. Just, you know, suddenly says, well, you know, beekeeping. I was reading this morning just on the way here. This is it's connecting. There was a 5-year-old who claims to be a beekeeper now.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So that's a lifelong habit. You know, I'm sure he'll forever be, and he'll spread the same whatever it is.
He'll be the bee man.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he's talked to his mates and all this sort of thing. You know, when you're talking about 5- and 7-year-olds, you know, there's no filters.
Yeah.
They don't. They just say what they want to do. You know, they want to be a beekeeper or something.
Yeah.
They're not knowing necessarily what that means.
Yeah.
But they just do it. There's no sort of barriers.
Yeah.
Whereas here now, I was talking about my father used to keep bees, but it kind of got quite organized. You know, have you got the right qualifications? Have you done this? You know, kind of this sort of thing. It's kind of got a bit too academic, and it was attracting the wrong people.
Yeah.
Or not the wrong people, but it wasn't bringing in a wider audience. You've got, you know, you're typically white, somebody who's got a bit of spare time or, you know, in their retirement or something like that, and they've got to want to do. Whereas anybody can be a beekeeper or, you know, in just planting a...
Planting to help.
Just plant the, you know, correct...
Yeah, get them back.
Bushes, flowers, and they're automatically coming into your garden.
Yeah. But people do it, you know, there's lots of examples around the world, never mind. You know, we should share these things. That's the beauty of this. You might have somebody listening to this conversation in Australia, you know, who certainly knows no birds in his garden or her garden, whatever it is. They just encourage them. It is amazing how quick nature comes back.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a sparrow in our garden for ages. You know, and so then you hear about there's not many sparrows, but then you say, actually, if you put a feeders out or things like that.
Put some mealworms out and they'll be straight in.
Yeah, and then they come back in, but then you get smaller birds. But we've got magpies, which scare them all off.
They do, yeah.
And they're like big, scary birds. And so, you know, there's a balance somewhere, but you just have to sort of kind of...
You can also get nesting boxes now, but you've got to make sure there's the right size hole.
All right, yeah.
So if you want to encourage small birds, get the ones with a really, really tiny hole in for them to get in, because the bigger birds can't even put their beak in, so then they can't eat the young, and therefore they'll be able to thrive. And then if you've got your little feeders out that squirrels can't get to and stuff like that, then, you can encourage the small birds back in. Yeah.
We do a lot of damage to some of our local green parks. Where do you live? On the west side of Sheffield?
I'm north Sheffield.
North Sheffield, right, okay. Well, you know, the west out goes out to the Peter Street, basically. You can walk from the centre of town on a path all the way out to the Peter Street without actually going on a road. But it's surrounded by housing, and they recently, or relatively recently, put in a sewer and did all the building work and everything else and completely trashed it for about 3 or 4 years, this path.
Yeah.
And all the badgers and the foxes and things just disappeared. You know, they weren't there.
Yeah.
But it's recently been coming back because people have started planting things, started redoing, you know, woodland work and all these sort of things. Lots of volunteers.
Yeah.
But it's kind of not been that organised.
Yeah.
That, you know, you get friends of, you know, all these sort of organisations. But it's just people are genuinely beginning to think about what their environment is.
Yeah.
And without being getting, you know, sort of... what's the word? There's a word, you know, where you sort of, I don't know, some sort of, not disciple. What is it when you act as a...
ambassador.
That sort of thing. More, you know, where you're sort of holier than thou. When you're trying to tell everybody you've got to do this and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just, you know, there's a word, I can't think what it is. It must be half...
It'll suddenly come.
It'll come to me, yeah. But people go out there and they just do it. They feel like they would like to do it rather than being organised or being told or something else. Yeah, exactly. I was interested because what Emily was saying earlier about the homeless, because I've been I've mixed experiences. You know, you want to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm going to say next. You know, you get people who start screaming and shouting at you.
They
make prejudges of you. You know, it's the other way around, isn't it? If you're saying, why are you saying, you know, I said, well, you can come a cup of coffee with me if you want, and you get shattered at.
Yeah, you can do, yeah.
But it has gone both ways. You know, somebody being really grateful, and just as long as you walk away, there's no pressure, no involvement.
Yeah.
That's the thing I quite like about sometimes this transient.
Yeah, sometimes it's not appropriate to always approach someone.
Yeah.
But how do you know this is the problem, isn't it? That's why a lot of people won't approach them.
You
at all,
feel
just
safe.
In case.
If you don't feel safe, don't approach.
Can they then turn once you've approached them so they look approachable?
Yeah.
But if you say something that, you know, they don't like, I mean, you're not being abusive to them. I mean, like, say, saying, can I buy you a coffee? Would you like a sandwich? Sometimes, you know, I've heard that they'll say, no, you know, I want money, or you don't want to be feeding addictions either. So you're not really sure what to do and how to approach it.
It is hard because, I mean, I'd never approach someone potentially on my own when nowhere else was around. So, like, it's always a public place. Yeah. You've always got someone who will come over and help you. Generally, you're probably quite near shops. So even if something was turned a bit difficult, you could always walk into a shop and away from it. Then you've got, like, security guards, shoppers and shop assistants and everyone like that around you. So you're not alone. I mean, I don't know, working with people, you can just generally tell. I've got a homeless guy on my way to work and he is so polite. Like, the first couple of times I walked past him, he said, do you have any change? I don't carry change. I'm of that generation. I've got my tap and go and that's it. Tap and go.
I've always got cash.
I never carry cash, ever. And he was just like, not a problem, not a problem. And a couple of times I walked past him, then he started to recognise who I was. I did the same route every day. Of course he did. And then he said, do you have any food on you? He's like, I know you don't carry cash. I was like, I've got a packet of Haribo. He's like, I would love some Haribo if you've got any to spare. So I gave him some Haribo. And then now and again, like when I've done home baking and stuff and I walk in, I'll give him some like cake or something that I've made. He's like, you'll make me fat, you will. And we've just got like now like a really good rapport. And I know he's in a service where he is getting help and things like that.
Have you actually had that conversation?
We've chatted a few times. So I generally don't leave it too long. Where we meet is on the underpass by St Mary's Church near Bramall Lane. So I don't leave it too long because obviously there's not always people walking past and stuff like that, but we like always say hello to each other, good morning, and he always like lifts his hat, good morning. Always smiles, and he says, like, when I see your smile, it just brightens up my day because you always smile at me. He's like, and that's what I wait for in the morning. So even if you don't help people, if you just say good morning or something like that when you're walking past.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't ignore people. Like, give them eye contact.
No, they don't
want to be engaged in any way.
I know. And for me, I just can't. Like, I'm quite a social person, so I hate like excluding and things like that. So if someone was to talk to me, I'd say hello to them. Like even charity people on the street, when they say like, excuse me, and they chase after you, I'm like, sorry, I don't have time, or hello, but have a good day, something like that. And it's the same principle. Like, if someone's saying, excuse me, do you have any change? I say, no, I don't, but have a good morning. I just don't like ignoring people. And I think it really does make a difference to them, knowing that they're not like the bottom of society and like everyone hates them and they're frowned upon and things like that. It must suck so much for people to be in that situation. And like, no wonder some of them turn to drink and drugs.
Yeah.
If you were on the street 24/7 with everyone ignoring you, you're having such a bad time, you can't get warm, you may not have had enough to eat, but like you've got some money for a little bit of escapism, I'm not overly surprised. Like, I don't condone it, I'm not encouraging the behaviour, but I'm not surprised it happens.
It's their way of getting through the day.
Yeah, and like, who am I to judge that? I'm not in their shoes, so.
It's interesting, one thing, you said something there which is quite interesting, like, you look forward to coming there every day to see your smile. Why doesn't he look, well, I'll tell you why. When he's not there? He's not there every day, right?
No, because...
Okay. So what does he... I mean, is he aspiring to go there every day just to see?
No.
So you can see where I'm coming from.
Yeah, no, right? Completely. Yeah. But he does change his locations, like I said before. I haven't seen you in a while. He's like, well, I had to change location because it wasn't successful for me here. I wasn't getting any money for the hostel that night and stuff like that.
Right.
So, I mean, he's not going there because of me, and I know that because I'm not always there. I don't walk past there every day. Like, they've recently been doing building work, so I haven't been there and things like that, and he's not there every day and things like that.
How is he going to break that cycle so he doesn't need to go there as
well? Well, I know he's in a service where he is getting help.
Oh, okay.
Because I've had that conversation. Okay. So because I was going to refer him.
Because in your capacity you kind of assessing it already, aren't you? Yeah, I can help this guy or this...
Well, for me, no one needs to live on the street. There should always be an option.
Yeah.
So, like, I asked him, like, what he's doing. He is getting help, but for someone with mental health issues, potentially, I haven't asked that much detail.
No.
I'm not doing an assessment or anything like that. So, if if he's having problems, he needs help with them. But if that's going to take time, we can't just click our fingers or here's some pills, you'll get over it overnight kind of thing. It's a long process, and it will be with a lot of people living on the streets, not just in Sheffield, although Sheffield does have a seems to have a high population of homeless people, and it is rising. There are people who go out and do nightly walks and check different areas across the city, and the numbers are increasing. So it's just a very, very sad situation.
Why is it increasing? Is there anything behind it?
Cuts, lack of services.
So just austerity.
No austerity is the biggest problem. I mean, it just even creates pressures on families. I mean, even if you were a benefit receiving family, imagine your benefits have just completely changed. There's a whole new system in place, and it's quite complicated, really. So imagine all of a sudden your household's income is cut by half. They might have like medical reasons, which is why they can't go to work, or they may have other issues, or they may have to stay at home to look after a child or an elderly parent or something like that. And then their whole income's cut, and but the rent's due, and that hasn't cut in half. That's increased, and so have bills, because electricity is getting more expensive, and so is petrol and everything like that. And just the pressures on households just seem to be insane. Like, there needs to be a moment when it's going to give, and unfortunately for some people it means that they have to become homeless and live on the street, and or have to resort to crime or something like that to be able to pay the bills. I'm not saying it's the case for everyone, but in some cases it is.
Yeah,
that's the hard truth.
You're in the marketing, aren't you?
Yeah, design and marketing.
So is this just a silly question, but could you design something that actually brings, you know, kudos to, you know, so it reduces the homelessness idea, something that appeals to people rather than, you know, I don't know, just something. It's the first time I've met Emily.
It's increasing awareness, isn't it? Because a lot of people don't know what's behind it. You know, they're almost scared about approaching people.
Yeah.
And like you've just said, you know, a lot of them were in work. You know, they've got houses. You know, it's not like they've come from broken homes.
Right.
They've been in a position. It's just unfortunate that, you know, they can't actually, they're not earning above the breadline, which have knocked them into this bizarre situation, which I suppose anyone could be in.
I mean, they say is it two paychecks away from being homeless always?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because even with a household with two earners that are earning, you know, really decent salaries, one of those goes because of the cost of living. It makes a massive impact.
Mm.
But, you know, you've got to either really cut back, or if you've cut back to the bare minimums.
Yeah.
Like you say, you're in fear of losing your houses. Even if it's not just rent, if you've got a mortgage, then you're in the same situation.
Yeah.
And people probably think that they'd never be in that situation. I think it's the awareness.
So could we do aware. So I mean, what I'm thinking is that, yeah, really cool marketing to make homelessness really cool. I don't know.
I don't know if it will ever be cool.
You're saying awareness. You know, that I don't know. I think top of my head, Apple. You know, everybody looks at it as being a cool product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when you get into the nuts and bolts of it, it's no better than anybody else's stuff. You know, you can pull holes in all that sort of stuff. They have a very
How it's perceived.
Yeah, exactly.
It?
So
it's all about your influences.
Can we make Prastly homelessness cool?
I mean, I think that's what Ed Sheeran is trying to do at the moment. He's working with Shelter, isn't he?
Yeah, so
he does a lot of fundraising and awareness for Shelter. He's on their new advert and things like that. So younger people who obviously follow Ed Sheeran will then look at him. And I know Passenger as well is in the similar kind of music. Passenger. Yeah. Let Her Go.
Oh.
You only know you love her when you let her go. He's quite popular in Europe and stuff, and I know he's doing a lot for homelessness as well.
Do they do it for free?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. A lot of influencers do.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Yeah. You don't know.
Ed Sheeran has physically been homeless.
Has he?
So he did that while he did like busking and stuff like that before he became who he now is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
He did like hidden homelessness. So he was sofa surfing, and he did do a couple of nights in like train stations and stuff like that. So he has physically experienced it. And I know it's a cause that he's passionate about. Like even his songs sometimes about homelessness.
Because that would resonate with people like me. know, I've got no experience particularly, and I agree with you, anybody homeless, it doesn't matter who you are. I know people have had fortunes and not got them, sort of stuff. You know, everybody goes through that's kind of life. But it's just interesting that would have been, you know, something like pick on something that says that people, oh God, bloody Ed Sheeran, I know him.
Yeah.
He's the ginger guy. Or, you know, he's been homeless or something like, statement like that or something. But I'm just saying about making it people aware.
Yeah.
Because I think if you you could almost like create Sheffield, you know, could create, you know, it could be the, you know, that we're talking about at the moment there, you know, Sheffield's the friendliest to migration, to immigration, immigrants, because people welcome them in.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and it's kind of getting a feel about that. Do, you know, why can't we look inwards as well? You know, like the homeless, Sheffield's the greatest place to be homeless. But at the same time, you know, offering that, you know, how you get an opportunity to get out of it.
Yeah.
Make you think, you know, just
breaking the cycle.
Breaking the cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Sheffield in itself has got its own fantastic brand in different areas for, you know, it's an up-and-coming city with a lot bubbling underneath. So it'd be nice to turn that around and, you know, make that Sheffield brand helpful to the homeless.
Yeah.
Putting the entire city behind, this is, you know, a problem within the city, and we're aiming to change that as soon as possible.
And here's our really cool marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's bringing in well-known people as well that have experienced it. Because I think people sit up and listen more.
Yeah. But also getting
Someone that's been through it, which has, they've come out the other side and they're happy to support it.
Yeah.
And like I said, people will gravitate towards people they know rather than the unknowns, which rightly or wrongly, if it's increasing the awareness, then it's always a good thing.
Yeah, it's just making sure, like your influencer, say, is happy to talk about it. I mean, there aren't that many famous people who admit that they have been homeless. I mean, there must have been more. There are very, very few who will admit it.
Mm.
So being able to work with those select is extremely difficult, especially if you're working with smaller organisations throughout a city to help the homeless people.
But I suppose it's what you were saying earlier in your talk about homelessness, where you've gone into schools and you've got someone with you, a young person, who's been that person who's, you know, ended up for whatever reasons on the street, but they have come out the other side and they've gone into schools to actually tell their story. And I think for the younger people, that's a really strong message
because
they've got someone in front of them, you know, similar age, just a little bit older, and just saying their experiences and what to look out for, what to try and avoid, and just be aware.
Yeah, making sure they stay safe. It's the big one.
Yeah.
They're staying safe. That's like being collected, like all together.
Yeah.
Would you have homelessness if everybody was, you had lots of friends?
Yes, because hidden homelessness. So if you're sofa surfing and things like that, it's not your permanent address. And you don't know how long it will last.
Yeah.
So I'm really lucky. I know I've got loads of friends who would put me up. But how long until I outstay my welcome?
Right.
Yeah.
And also, if they had parents as well, then they're taking on another child and they're having to look after that child and puts pressure on their family and their environment and their income and everything like that. And hidden homelessness is a big one because you don't see it. So it's having an awareness that it's going on.
Right. Is that bigger than people on the street?
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, yeah. Especially with young people.
So they're literally just going from sofa to sofa, you say sofa surfing.
Bed sits, hostels, sofa surfing with their friends, maybe staying at school.
Right, okay.
Different things like that. Yeah. You just don't notice. You don't see it.
That's, you know, these are sort of things that are going to come out. That's news to me. You kind of think it happened.
Yeah.
But I hadn't thought of it as being hidden homelessness.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. Which is necessarily say they're homeless because, like I say, you can't see them and just staying with friends.
They're not
out on the street, but like you say, they haven't got
a
place of their own.
You see, someone like this network, you see, there's people here, lots of people, you know, who would, there are opportunities,
mm-hmm.
but they're very low paid. You know, this is the problem. You know, you were saying about the threshold. We've got to get at the point where one can afford to pay for somebody to work, you know, and get the return, you know. So it's both ways. It works both ways. Interesting that this networking thing is much more about networking. as opposed to some of the other ones who just sit there and talk about what your business does. You know, where you stand up and say, right, this is what I want, I want your business. This feels much more friendly. I don't know why, but it just feels like people are going to feel more helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in any networking, it shouldn't be about pure selling. It's about getting to know people. Mm-hmm. Same relating back to the homeless, it's getting to know people and finding out what people need individually, whether it's from a business point of view, whether it's from issues on the street. Everyone's an individual.
Find out their story.
Different needs. Yeah, yeah. Until you know what those needs are, you can't help.
Right, there we go, little campaign. I've just looked at the time on this. Do you know how long it is?
No.
30 minutes. It happens every time. How long to get going? Anyway, that's brilliant. We've all got things to do. Yeah. I'm going to go and do it. Excellent. Anyway, well,
Thank you.
Thank
you for having us.
Yeah, no, it's good. I'll switch it off now.
It's nice to have met you anyway.
Yeah, good.
I'll keep